You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are. On the Fantasy Sports Network, we're talking football, football, and more football on the program today. Mark Lawrence joins us. We're talking college football. Can't wait to start talking pro football with Mark Lawrence. But we got a full slate of college football games on the board over the next couple of days, so we break them down with Mark Lawrence. Next week, we'll start talking NFL football with Mark. Playbook.com's Mark Lawrence. Now, we broke down every conference throughout the entire summer, so now it's time to put all that research to good work. And we started off with a bang last week, 5-2 on the radio show with Rich Sermonello and Joe Lisi. This week, it's going to be on radio and television. I'll be joining the crew from Las Vegas, Nevada. Look forward to a banging Saturday of college football. The countdown is on now, just 8 days away to the start of the National Football League. Emory Hunt's going to step up and join us. EpiGamePlan.com. Emory is great when it comes to breaking down the gridiron. He's going to join us. We're going to talk some college football and some NFL football. More pro football with Emory on the program today. And then Dalton Deldon joins us. And we're all about the NFL. Dalton Deldon, one of the best fantasy guys in the business over at Yahoo. Always enjoy Dalton's work. He gets right to the point. Dalton Deldon, also a man of my heart. He likes to bet on the games as well. Dalton Deldon's going to join us. We'll talk football with Dalton. So as you can see, we got a rock-solid freaking lineup on the program today. Mark Lawrence, Emory Hunt, and Dalton Deldon. We got something for everybody. You're betting on the college games, then Mark Lawrence has got you covered. You want to talk some NFL football, then Emory Hunt's got you covered. You want some fantasy football tips and some sleepers, then Dalton Deldon's got you covered. We've got all the bases covered when it comes to the grid. And speaking of the bases, we've got a couple of baseball picks for you, although I'm getting tired of baseball once again. It was a nice run last week. Now let's just get to the grid, man. Let's just play some freaking football. All right, so I've seen studies before that the average man thinks about sex every 7 seconds. Now I think that's a little bit extreme. I've heard 30 seconds, 60 seconds, but I did my research before the program today. And it seems like they were saying a lot of scientists are saying 7 seconds. Can't argue with science, right? But I think if they did this study at this time of the year in late August, you could replace sex with fantasy football. That men are thinking about fantasy football and football in general every 7 seconds. As I've got a lot of things going on in my life, and I've got a lot of problems in my life as well, unfortunately. But, you know, I can't sleep. I'm thinking I should have done this. I should have done that. I'm walking down the street today. I'm like, man, I really should have taken Devontae Parker. But good thing is we have another draft tonight. Thing with drafts is you can't freaking control them. You know, you have no control over the situation. You know, I've been in two drafts in the last two nights, and they've been completely different. You know, sometimes people are smart and they do crazy things. Sometimes you're playing with a bunch of sharks and all the good players are going early. You know, sometimes there's a run on positions all the time, if you notice, in these drafts. You know, people see, oh, my God, this guy just took a wide receiver. I better take a wide receiver. And the next guy takes a wide receiver. And then everybody's gone. The rankings sort of get thrown out the window. I got to tell you, these fantasy football drafts can be frustrating, but you never know. You know, I've walked out of drafts thinking, man, I love this team, and my team sucked. And I've had other teams where I'm like, I don't know. It's okay, I guess. And I ended up winning money. So I guess you never really know. But nevertheless, I think we all have our minds on fantasy football right now and football in general. So if you're not paying attention to what's going on in the NBA, that's right, the NBA, what? That Isaiah Thomas, Kyrie Irving deal isn't done. Hard to believe, and you thought it would be done because NBA.com seems to be selling Isaiah Thomas cap jerseys right now. So they're saying it's done, but it's not done. It's not done. Isaiah Thomas has a bad hip. And evidently now the Cleveland Cavaliers are saying the Boston Celtics weren't completely forthright as far as how injured Isaiah actually is and was. And it's so bad that he could miss playing time coming into the season. Like maybe, you know, significant playing time. So the deal isn't finalized right now. He didn't pass the physical. Deal isn't finalized. You've got a very, very messy situation on your hands right now, to say the least. Isaiah Thomas... Listen, this guy's sister died. He played the next freaking day and dropped 33 in a playoff game, all right? You can't question this kid's heart. You know, and now you turn around. You didn't really want to re-sign him, so you traded him. So He's emotionally crushed by this. He feels betrayed by the Boston Celtics. Yet, I will remind Isaiah, you also did say it doesn't matter where you play as long as somebody backs up the Brinks truck. And don't worry, you're going to get your Brinks truck full of money eventually. But, you know, he can't go back to Boston right now. Kyrie Irving in Cleveland, like him and LeBron, are like reportedly this close to getting into a fist fight right now. They don't like each other. It's not going on. It's not happening. Kyrie can't go back to Cleveland. So right now, Cleveland and Boston are trying to figure this out. Except I'm not even really sure who does the figuring out for Cleveland. I just assume LeBron James runs the operation, even though he's going to be leaving at the end of the year. That's how complicated and ugly this thing is. The Cleveland Cavaliers like that net draft pick that the Celtics have to offer. But with that being stated, Isaiah Thomas is a free agent at the end of the year, and they're probably not going to re-sign him. Enter the Milwaukee Bucks, a upstart and up-and-coming and a dangerous Milwaukee Buck basketball team. Milwaukee are now telling Cleveland, listen, forget about Isaiah Thomas, forget about the draft pick. We'll give you a rookie of the year in Malcolm Brogdon. We'll give you Malcolm Brogdon and Chris Middleton and maybe a draft pick. And Cleveland are trying to shake down Milwaukee for their first-round draft pick right now as well, on top of Brogdon and on top of Middleton. Now, I know it doesn't sound as sexy as Isaiah Thomas, but this is a deal that the Cleveland Cavaliers have to think long and hard about, actually. Brogdon's a badass, man. This kid's a baller. And they're not going to re-sign Isaiah Thomas, and Isaiah Thomas probably wouldn't want to re-sign in Cleveland anyways at the end of the year. You see how complicated and messy this thing is? You know, long story short, man, you know, they've got to get a deal done somehow. You know, Boston's got to deal with this Thomas situation, and Cleveland's got to deal with the Irving situation. So they're still both made for each other right now. Cleveland are trying to shake Boston down for more draft picks and for more assets. Boston's trying to, you know, say, hey, listen, we already gave you a hell of a lot. It'll be interesting to see where this thing goes. Milwaukee's an already dangerous team, man, and imagine Kyrie Irving with the Greek Freak. That'd be a freaking potent combination, man. But an already crazy NBA offseason is getting even freaking crazier, if that's possible. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We are live and we're talking football. We've got Mark Lawrence, we've got Emery Hunt, and we've got Dalton Delda. We got something for everybody. We got college football talk, NFL football talk, and NFL fantasy football talk. NFL football begins in 8 days. Forget about this week 4 of the preseason. I don't even pay attention to it. You guys know I'll lay it down on everything. But I don't touch week 4 of the NFL preseason. Why would I when we've got a full slate of college football on Thursday? We've got a full slate of college football on Friday. We've got a full slate, not like monster slate. That's going to kick in the following week, but, you know, a Saturday slate with some monster games. We got a couple of games on Sunday. We even have a Monday nighter to lead us into the NFL. Thursday nighter next week. Tennessee and Georgia Tech on Monday night. Now, throughout the summer, me and Mark Lawrence have been breaking down each conference. Mark Lawrence, playbook.com. If you don't have it yet, you're behind the curve, people, because the season has started. Mark Lawrence joins us. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing terrific, Gabe. I'm all psyched up for this particular weekend college football. As you mentioned, 41 games on tap this weekend. It's just like football never ended.
Yeah, 41 college football games. Wow. And the next week, there'll be even more. I'll be going to Vegas this week, so I get into Vegas on Friday afternoon just in time to get in on the Friday night games, and it'll be a great Saturday with the big games at the sports books. And unfortunately, I got to leave on Sunday right away, but I got to go enter the Super Contest in person, Mark.
Well, that's the purpose of going out there, I'm sure, Gabe, and it looks like there's going to be a record amount of entries in the Super Contest this year. I'm really excited about that. They're talking the winner perhaps will pull down $1 million.
Yeah, they need to get to what, 2,080 people or whatever it was. But yeah, you're right. I'm hearing over $1 million to the winner as well. And you know what? We have a better chance of winning that than we do a lottery ticket, right, to win $1 million. There's only 2,000 people. Suddenly, I've got a 1 in 2,000 chance as opposed to a 17 to million one chance to win a lottery ticket.
Yeah, with an educated stance at predicting the games as well, rather than just random numbers, if you will. It's not Conor McGregor money, but $1 million goes a long way these days.
All right, so let's jump into some college football games. And a game that I didn't think I'd start lead off with you this week, Mark, but it caught my eye when I was reading this week's playbook, in which teams who were dogs of 24 or more points in the opener who played in a bowl game the year before are 0-27 straight up. That's an 8-19 against the spread. That's an incredible number right there. And they've lost by an average score of 50-13. And the one team that falls into this category, because it's not often it would happen, you figure over the years, but the team, so it's happened 27 times, and a team that falls into this bracket this week are the Western Michigan Broncos.
Yeah, big turnover with that football program this year, Gabe. As you well know, the coach is gone. The star wide receiver is gone. The star quarterback is gone. Their chances are gone, really. And to pull down a tough opponent like Southern Cal this week on top of it makes it really, really difficult, a real uphill battle for Western Michigan. If P.J. Fleck were there, he'd say, we can't row the boat, guys. We got to jump out and bail out. No chance here against Southern Cal.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. The odds makers are aware of this as well. They're not getting any respect, Western Michigan, from last year. And, oh, good for you. You went to the Cotton Bowl. The odds makers are aware that Terrell's gone. Fleck is gone. Corey Davis on the Tennessee Titans right now. So, you know, you have to pay a price. I see it at 26.5 right now, Mark, and normally, I wouldn't want to lay this. USC are supposed to be a national title contender. If they are, this is the type of game that they win around 50-13, isn't it?
It is this type of a game. And, in fact, you got to remember that the way Southern Cal closed out last year, they're going to bring the nation's longest win streak into this contest here. They only lost the first game when Sam Darnold started as a quarterback. They won every game going out. They won the yards in every game that he played. So this is a football team that is anxious and can't wait to get back onto the football playing field here. I expect this number to even climb higher before kickoff. There should be a lot of support for Southern Cal in this game.
Yeah, I'll be at the sportsbook Saturday afternoon. You know, there's going to be a lot of Trojan money going down. They're such a public team in Vegas.
A huge public team from Los Angeles, and then given the Sam Darnold situation here, everybody's in love with Darnold. They've got him projected to be the number one pick in the NFL football draft last year. All the offseason stories have been about Darnold, Southern Cal. My only concern is Clay Helton. I'm not completely sold on him as a head coach. There's a lot of talent there at Southern Cal. I projected them to make the college football playoffs this year, and they couldn't pick a better opponent than Western Michigan, who feels awfully good about what they did last year, whether they have a skeleton of a lineup in place this year.
I wonder about Helton as well in big football games later in the year. And, you know, we'll see if USC can navigate this. There's a lot of pressure on them, but, you know, this is a pretty easy game for them. The question is, do they cover the number? I'm not in a hurry to lay the number. It's not in my nature, Mark, but if I had to play it, you know, maybe I'd get a piece of the Trojans.
It's not in my blood either to lay that kind of lumber early in football games in the month of September. But I will say this, having tried to do it in the past and having been unsuccessful, I learned the lesson. The lesson is that these top 10 ranked teams really come out of the gate strong in the opening weeks of the college football season here. So at Southern Cal, are no play for me.
Yeah, I've learned my lessons as well, Mark. In fact, I got a flashback. I think it was last year Arkansas State went to USC. You know, they were getting 17 or whatever it was. And you got to be careful getting suckered into the underdogs early against the powerhouses, thinking, oh, that's a lot of points. Now they want to put a show on. Last week everyone was like, oh, you can't take Stanford. They're going to be disinterested. I'm like, man, Rice are a high school football team. Even if Stanford are disinterested, they can still tattoo them. And, you know, USC won't be a disinterested team, even though they do have Stanford coming up the following week. Here's another intriguing we got a conference matchup, which is rare for Ohio State to open up the season like this. They're laying 21 right now at Indiana. The total is 57. I'm not a fan of betting this game. I don't trust Indiana enough, and I'm not really in a hurry to take Ohio State here. I do like the over 57, though.
Well, I think the number's intriguing here a little bit. And our good friend Joe Lisi, I know, likes Indiana from his Inside the Numbers report as well. Taking a look at the Hoosiers in this contest here, they do bring a lot to the table. Here's a football team that was bowling last year. They're 21-0 straight up in season opening games at home. I know Ohio State's beat this team. They've tattooed this team a lot in the past here. But you're asking a lot from the Buckeyes to go out and win this football game by more than 21 points with a good football game on deck against Oklahoma, a ranked team in Oklahoma here. I think what works for Ohio State in this contest is perhaps the Kevin Wilson situation that exists here for the Buckeyes.
Yeah, you got so Kevin Wilson was the former head coach of Indiana. Now he's the coordinator with Ohio State. You know, he brings a lot of distinct knowledge to the table here, doesn't he? And I look at this with Urban Meyer, and you're right. You know, Ohio State, it's tough. It's like South Florida last week, Mark. South Florida laying the points at San Jose State. Yeah, they're a much better team, but you're always really going to be sweating it out because that back door is going to be swinging, man, like a trailer park. You know, it's going to be swinging back and forth. It's always going to be open when you're laying this type of big number, especially 21 on the road here. Indiana's loaded on defense right now. They're going to try to slow this game down a bit. You have to wonder about Ohio State's offense. But I still think Ohio State can put points on the board against Indiana. It's just, it's a lot of freaking points to lay.
It's a lot of points here. That football game with USF last week, it was like unbelievable. You know, they out down 16-0, they scored 42 straight points. All of a sudden, you're off life support. You've got a life again. And then they get backdoored in the contest here. Pull the plug. Get me out of here. It was a tough, bad beat game, if you will, if you had USF last week. I could see a little bit of the makeup of the same thing here in this Ohio State football game. I don't think Urban Meyer wants to show a whole lot with Oklahoma up on deck next week. He'll be satisfied to get into and out of Bloomington with just a win.
Yeah, my deal is that you've got Urban Meyer not only coming off a loss, coming off his first shutout loss ever in his career, and all that time to prepare looking at Indiana all summer long.
Yeah, he's got a lot of prep time to get ready for this football game, and he's got a lot of talent at Ohio State, too. Remember last year, they opened up as a very skinny, green football team with a total lack, the fewest amount of returning starters of all FBS teams. It didn't matter because he recruits lights out at Ohio State, and I think that recruiting is going to only be better beneficial to him this year. They're going to be as good as any team in the Big Ten Conference or perhaps the nation this season.
All right, here's an ugly game that's going on in your neck of the woods that I don't think a lot of people are going to talk about, but it kind of catches my eye as far as the number. And I know we just stated you got to be careful taking underdogs early in the college football season against powerhouse teams. But when I say this, UCF are not a powerhouse football team. And you've got FIU coming in here, and I'm high on FAU and FIU coming into this year. And we're talking about caliber coaches in Lane Kiffin, and not to mention we got Butch Davis taking over here at FIU, and he's got some talent coming back as well. And UCF doesn't, actually. They're sort of rebuilding. I think the public perception thinks Central Florida might be better than they actually are, Mark.
Well, remember, 2 years ago, they didn't win a football game. They were the kids from nowhere who came on last year to win six games, go from zero to six wins last year. So that propelled them, at least in the eyes of the odds maker this particular season. But I'm with you. I like Florida Atlantic. I like Florida International. I call them fit and fat, those two football teams. And I'm going to get fit with Florida International this particular week here, too. I like this team. I like the makeup. Butch Davis is doing a great job. They're going to be much better defensively here. And what goes up must come down, almost always goes down. I think that'll be the case for UCF this year. This team, I think, will struggle to make six wins and get back to a bowl game.
I think this game comes down to the wire, and we're getting 17.5 points.
Unbelievable. I feel the same way about them in Florida Atlantic. We talk a little bit about them, but you're talking a ton of points here with the football team that's all pumped up right now with Butch Davis here. Everything I read down here in South Florida, they're just anxious and can't wait for this first football game to begin here. I'm going to be on the sidelines with the Panthers and Butch Davis as well.
Yeah, we're talking about Central Florida here, guys. Like, they're not playing against the Florida Gators. They're not playing the Seminoles. It's a lot of points, 17.5. And FIU have some talent. They have listen, Butch Davis is such a good coach. He was able to get the Cleveland Browns to the playoffs. That's all you need to know. All right, last week I was glad that I rode Colorado State and I hit the over as well. Man, you know, last year, last six games of the year, they averaged 48 points per game. People were like, well, we don't know if they're going to be able to match that. No, they didn't match that. They topped it. They put 58 up on the board. This is a potent offense. You've been writing about this. You wrote about their the three-headed monster in the playbook. Now they've got a game under their belt. They're confident. Now they're taking on a Colorado Buffalo team playing in their first game. This is a real landmine, man, for the Colorado Buffaloes. Neutral field, home of the Broncos in Denver. This is a rivalry that flies under the radar. It's great stuff out there in the Mile High City.
It sure does, Gabe. This is going to be a well-focused Colorado State football team for this game. Not only does Colorado lose a lot of key personnel, their star quarterback from last year, but they lost their defensive coordinator as well, Jim Leavitt. That's a big loss for this football team because the real strength of that team last year was their defense. It's what kept them in games in the Big Pac-12 Conference. He's gone along with the other players, the key personnel losses they have. And I'm with you. I like this Colorado State football team. They have a ton of people coming at you offensively here. Nick Stevens, the quarterback here, that game under their belt, I think is going to do them well to avenge that season opening loss they took last year.
You mentioned before Urban Meyer doesn't really need to run up the score. He just needs a win. But Urban Meyer likes to run the score up. So
yes,
he likes to run the score up. But I look at this next game, and I look at a coach that's on the hot seat that I don't think if he cares if he wins by 1, 3, 13, or 18. And just by the definition of the nature of the opponent here in the Temple Owls, getting 17.5 points with that defense, you know, they lost their quarterback. They lost their best linebacker, Hassan Reddick, now the National Football League. Walker's gone as well. But with that being stated, there's still a lot of talent there. And they're a blue-collar, smash-mouth football team that they're going to eat a lot of clock up. They're going to play good defense. And like I said, Notre Dame's not – Brian Kelly not worried about winning by 18. He needs to win games to keep his job. He doesn't need to cover spreads right now.
No, there's no need for him to go out and crush an opponent early on to make a statement here. And Temple's not the type of a football team that's easy to crush. They're built about defense here. That's what the reason they won over 20 games the past 2 years. Matt Rhule did a great job as a head coach with Temple. He's moved on now to Baylor, but the players are still there that won those 20 football games. They were a young team in the making. There's going to be a lot of juniors and seniors on the makeup of this Temple football team here. I think it's just far too many points. And then you also throw in an angle that we had in the Playbook newsletter about red-faced bowlers. Temple laid an egg in the bowl game last year. They were much more than a touchdown favorite, lost the game. Much like Colorado State, a red-faced bowler, Temple's in the same role this Saturday.
And even better, the boys in the booth have informed me it's up to 18.5 in some spots
now.
Hey, even better, give me the points. All right, this next game is interesting. A lot of people have are raising their eyebrows about this. I was hoping that we could lay 3, that we wouldn't have to lay 5, but I'm talking about the Gamecocks and the Wolfpack. People are saying, well, why are, you know, and South Carolina sort of became a trendy team late last year with Will Muschamp. So people are saying, well, why are NC State favored by 5 against an SEC team? But why don't you tell the viewers, this NC State team is freaking good. They might be really good. And let's not forget, people, they were a missed chip shot field goal away from knocking off the Clemson Tigers last year. They've got a lot of talent back, Mark.
They sure do. This is an NC State football team I'm excited about, Gabe, especially on the defensive side of things. They've got 4 guys that start on the defensive line that all each will be playing in the National Football League when they leave NC State. Perhaps the best defensive line in all of college football. There's a ton of experience coming back for this team here. This is a team right now that I think nobody in the ACC will want to play down the road because I think they'll play themselves into position. And don't be surprised if NC State makes it to the title game in the ACC championship matchup.
Interesting note, Dave Doran, head coach of the Wolfpack, 23-3 straight up with NC State when outgaining opponents, 18-5 against the spread, and he should be able to outgain South Carolina in this football game. All right, before we get you out of here, quickly the marquee matchups, Michigan and Florida, there were 3.5s on the board. They're going up to 4 right now. Total's 45. Money's coming in on Harbaugh's Wolverines.
Well, I talked about the red-faced bowler, Gabe, before. Michigan is the epitome of the red-faced bowler. They were a 7-point favorite in a bowl game last year. They lost. Everybody's jumping off the bandwagon because why? They don't return any starters here. All I can say is look at Ohio State from last year that we just talked about, and nobody out-recruits Jim Harbaugh. He recruits as good as Urban Meyer and Nick Saban. There's all 4- and 5-star athletes at Michigan here. We know what's going on at Florida right now. You like we said in the newsletter, you'd love to be the bail bondsman on that team. All these players are getting arrested. Unbelievable. Suspended.
The Dog the Bounty Hunter, set of Hawaii, set up shop on campus.
There you go. I just think this is the right role for Michigan here this particular week. I know they're anxious to make amends for the disappointing season the way they ended last year, and things couldn't be worse for Florida right now. Jim McElwain is doing a great job of talking about it's not bothering his football team. He's not concerned about that. He hasn't even decided on a quarterback yet as we're speaking right now. I just think this is the wrong situation, the wrong place, the wrong time for Florida to hook up a Michigan team with a big chip on its shoulder.
I agree. I think people are underestimating Michigan coming into this year a little bit. Even in the polls, I think they're ranked a little bit low. But, you know, those polls, whatever. All right, quickly on the way out here, we got FSU and Alabama. Alabama are laying 7. Total's 49.5. I'm going to be on the over this football game. I think it's going to be a track meet. There's going to be points put up on the board. Courtesy of the playbook here, Jimbo Fisher, 30-5 versus non-conference opponents, including 9-1 straight up versus SEC teams. I've talked about this game a lot throughout the week. Mark, the one style and the type of quarterback that gives Nick Saban fits, mobile quarterbacks. We saw Deshaun Watson the last 2 years terrorize Alabama. Cam Newton beat him. Johnny Manziel beat him. Tim Tebow used to beat him. Those are like the only quarterbacks. You need a star mobile quarterback, dual threat quarterback to beat Alabama. And DeAndre Francois is that guy.
He is that guy. He was a freshman phenom last year. Him and Jalen Hurts were the top two freshman quarterbacks in the country last football season here. And you mentioned 9-1 Bowden against the SEC. Nobody in the SEC has a better win percentage than he does against SEC football teams. And I'm going to leave you with this nugget here, too. I really like Florida State's chances in this game, if not to win it, at least to hang this number here. And they are what I call a hibernating wolf. That's one of the best opening angles in all of college football. Simply put, you're a 16 returning starter team. You won your last game of the season straight up as an underdog, and you open up as an underdog. These Wolves put a big bad bite on a lot of football teams. Alabama had better bring their A game because Florida State is coming to play.
Doesn't get any better than that. And if you want more information like that, subscribe to the playbook.com newsletter. Check out the website. Mark's also one of the covers experts as well. Mark, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for the time.
And my pleasure, as always, Gabe. Enjoy the games. Be good.
There's Mark Lawrence with us. Emery Hunt joins us next. We continue talking football.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues, as does the countdown to National Football League regular season kickoff. College football has already started. Last week was just kind of the appetizer. This week, you know, we've got some big-time college football games on the board. And then next Saturday, full slate, you know, it's go time. But football season is here, guys. We've got football Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then NFL football next Thursday. So if you plan on following my my plays of the day, my my plays of the week, et cetera, my best bets, or if you plan on fading my best bets, check out mybookie.ag. That's mybookie.ag. They've got live in-game wagering, which is a great great option, guys. You can, you know, if you don't want to force a play, you can just, you know, wait till the game starts and then see how it's going and jump in on the in-game. Just go to mybookie.ag, get 100% sign-up bonus. Use the promo code GTD. You play, you win, you get paid. Mybookie.ag, check it out, guys. All right, let's bring in Emery Hunt right now. Talk some football with Emery. It's great to have football back, isn't it, Emery? Great to have you back. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, man. It's always great to be on with you, man.
So I know you've been going to NFL camps. You've been going to college football games already. You're already in regular season, mid-season form, man.
It never stops over here, man.
Yeah, fbgameplan.com, Emery Hunt. All right, Emery, so let's talk quickly with college before we talk a little NFL football. Colorado State looked very, very good against the Beavers. Their offense is very, very efficient. Now they get a Colorado Buffalo team that lost pretty much everybody on the defensive side of the football and a team that wasn't really that good on the defensive side of the football. The Buffs are loaded on offense. We know that. This game should be a track meet, should be a million points scored. But I'll tell you what, if Colorado State can win this game and open up the season 2-0 against Pac-12 teams, that's a pretty nice feather in their cap right there. And there's going to be a lot of hype around that team then.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look at Colorado State's, their biggest strength is their ability to push the ball down the field. And what is the biggest weakness of Colorado? Their secondary. They lost, what, 3 NFL picks in the secondary, 2 at linebacker. So you're right. Defensively, they're going to be questionable. They lose Seppo Lufau, the quarterback, who's now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I can see Colorado State winning this game. I actually have them winning this ball game. I like the Rams.
Yeah, you know, and I think they're getting points, too. They're a real live underdog that can win this game outright. All right, Michigan and Florida. We got to ask everybody about the two big games as well. We're sort of getting different takes on this one. The consensus is Michigan. The more guests I speak to, they like Michigan in this game. One guy that I do have a lot of respect for, Dave Malinsky, just thinks the point spread's a little high at Michigan -4. He thinks it should be like a pick 'em. What's your take on Michigan and Florida?
I think it is a pick 'em game, and I like the Gators in this one. Here's the thing. Michigan lost a ton of talent along their defensive line, NFL draft picks, Taco Charlton, and also Chris Wormley. They also lose 2 outstanding players in the secondary, Channing Stribling and their safety. I forget his name, but they lost a lot of talent there. Offensively,
don't forget about Jabril Peppers. Yeah, Jabril Peppers. Jordan Lewis is now on the Cowboys. Yeah, their defense got ravaged.
Got ravaged. You look at on offense, Jehu Chesson and also Amari Darboh are gone, and Devion Smith in the backfield. So, again, I'm not as high on this game. This game would have been outstanding last year, but you look at Florida defensively, they're going to be better. Offensively, they got a big boost by getting Malik Zaire, so I think he's going to help out not only their running game, but their passing game be much more efficient. I like Florida in this game.
All right, FSU and Alabama, do you think Florida State can hang around? I brought up the fact, and I don't have to tell you, the kryptonite, so to speak, the weakness of Alabama has always been against mobile quarterbacks. You know, no huddle, quick tempo, no huddles, dual threat quarterbacks. And DeAndre Francois is that guy, just like Cam Newton was that guy that beat them. Just like Deshaun Watson was that guy that beat them. Hey, Johnny Manziel was that guy for a while, and he beat them. Tim Tebow used to beat them. It's the only, off the top of my head, I can't think of one pocket passer that's ever beaten Nick Saban's team in Alabama.
I'll give you one. Cardale Jones beat them in the Sugar Bowl.
Oh, that's right. Cardale Jones, yeah. Yeah, he threw like 4 passes, I think, though, right?
4 touchdown passes. But here's the difference between all those or what all those quarterbacks
Cardale's
have.
Cardale's dual threat, though. Cardale's dual threat.
We have to disagree on that one.
Well, in college, dude, he was bigger than the linebackers. He was running people over.
Well, I'll say this. All those quarterbacks possess the one trait that you need to beat an Alabama defense. You can't be afraid of pressure. And all those quarterbacks will be willing to stand in the pocket and take a shot. We saw in all of those games, all those quarterbacks stand there and take hellacious shots. And we know DeAndre Francois will definitely take some hellacious shots. He has taken some all throughout the course of his career. But I'm interested to see how those running backs for Florida State do. They're going to be playing, I want to say, 2 true freshmen. Can they hold up in blitz pickup? That's going to be the biggest key in this game. But I do like Florida State to win. I can trust their passing offense more so than I can trust Alabama. Although Jalen Hurts, you know, as a true freshman last year, which was vastly underrated, he led that team to the championship. But I still think they're a bit one-dimensional until proven otherwise.
Yeah, you know, new offensive coordinator there too. Pretty bold, Emery. Pretty bold, man. You're picking both underdogs. You're saying Florida and Florida State both went outright.
Yep, I do like Florida State's on defense. Florida State secondary, I'm sorry. Derwin James is back healthy. He's a tremendous talent.
All right, here's a game that's not so big, but I'm going to ask you about it anyways because I know you were in attendance and you saw the UMass Minutemen play. UMass -2.5 against Coastal Carolina. Coastal Carolina's had a pretty good team over the years in the FCS, though, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And the reason why Joe Moglia, the coach, is outstanding at building a program. And the reason why that line is so close like it is, Coastal Carolina is a tremendous football team with a lot of depth. Remember, last year they went 10-2 while they were making the transition from the FCS to the FBS. So they have a lot of FBS talent on that roster. They get an outstanding transfer from Boston College and Marcus Outlaw, the running back. I'm a big fan of his game. I think that's going to be the reason why they knock off UMass. UMass, again, their improvement, they have a really good tight end in Adam Brenneman, an NFL prospect. Their quarterback played outstanding in the second half of that ball game. But defensively, they gave up way too many plays deep down the field. I think a team like Coastal Carolina can spread them out, run the ball, and take those same shots downfield. I like the Chanticleers.
Oh, they're going to be fired up for this game, too. They're going to be fired up. You know what? I'm going to be in Vegas. I'm going to pull the trigger on this one. I might be the only one walking to the window. Give me Coastal Carolina. All right, we only got a couple of minutes. DeShone Kizer, I know you spent some time at the Browns camp. You know, I like DeShone Kizer's skills a lot. There's a ton of upside moving forward with this kid. I'm not a fan of throwing him out there right now. You signed Brock Osweiler for a reason. Use him like a crash test dummy, like those old commercials where they crash the cars. Use Brock Osweiler as the crash test dummy. You know, maybe put Kizer in if you're getting blown out in a couple of games. I don't like just dropping Kizer on the field in week one here. Do you like the decision?
Love the decision. I called that decision 3 weeks ago when I was at camp, and everybody on Browns radio out there in Cleveland thought I was nuts by saying DeShone Kizer is a starter. The reason why is because he handles pressure very well, something we haven't seen Brock Osweiler do in his career. We didn't see Cody Kessler do it last year. We saw him get pulled out of a game against the Baltimore Ravens because he couldn't get rid of the football. So Kizer was able to manage pressure very well. He's going to get better with each and every game because you only get better by going out there and actually doing the job. So I agree with you, Jackson. He even said that he made this decision 3 weeks ago, which is funny because that would put the time frame right around the same time I was at that practice. But again, Kizer is their guy. They got a steal when they got him in the second round. His game reminds me a lot of Steve McNair.
You know, I'm a big fan, but he's very raw. He's going to make plays. He's going to make mistakes. I get it. There's going to be growing pains with all quarterbacks. I just hope that they don't get the kid killed too early out there. All right, so before we let you go, the New York Giants, another team, and you did a great job. It was great seeing you at camp and following you on Twitter at the Giants at camp. The win total is 8.5 for the New York Giants, and people are sort of all over the place. You know, there's some people that think the Giants are going to the Super Bowl. There's people that think the Giants are going to be able to knock off the Cowboys now that Ezekiel Elliott potentially is going to be out for six games. And you've got others that are sort of, you know, they say the Giants are a little overrated. I might be part of that crew, but I think 8.5 is very manageable. Wouldn't shock me if the Giants were a 10-win football team. I have a hard time getting a read on this Giant team. Are they overachievers or underachievers this year?
You know what? That's a great question and a great way to put it because I think they're going to be somewhat in the middle. They're going to be overachievers to those that think they can only win four games, underachievers to those that think they can go to the Super Bowl. But I think they're right there around the 10-win mark. So I would say take the over on that Giants number. I think that what will hold the Giants away from being that Super Bowl team, their running game. They still cannot run the football. They don't have a threat in the backfield. I thought they would have gotten Dalvin Cook in the draft, but they went with Evan Ingram. Great option, great receiver. He's going to expand their passing game, but it doesn't help them out running the football. So I think that's going to be the Achilles heel. Their defense and their special teams will be outstanding. They'll be able to push the ball vertically down the field. They won't be able to run the game. They'll look a lot like the Green Bay Packers once they get to a certain point and realize they can't run the ball. Then they don't make it past the divisional round.
And the Packers are like the old, like Packers have like a ground game, like army compared to what the Giants have. Like the Giants have nothing. Like you said, Paul Perkins isn't scaring anybody. And Eli Manning, for a two-time Super Bowl champion, he's pretty inconsistent. He does a lot of dumb things, a lot of passes batted down at the line. You know, like you said, it's like a scale that could tip either way with these guys. If Odell gets crazy and stuff starts happening and you got Marshall in the mix now, maybe their defense is a little overrated, but it's manageable. You know, they could be better. They're probably better than the Eagles. I know they're better than the Redskins, and they might be equal to Cowboys, so it really could go either way, but I do like over 8.5. We got to get out of here. Always a pleasure, Emery.
Thanks, man.
Dalton Deldon joins us next. We'll talk fantasy football.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues, as does the countdown to kickoff. Let's bring in one of my favorite guests. We don't get him on often enough, but he's a busy man. one of the best fantasy guys in the business. But before we get to Dalton, let us remind you, if you want some of the other best fantasy guys in the business, you want to win your fantasy league, you want to be prepared for DFS football every week, go over to rotoexperts.com/discount, promo code RAGE, promo code RAGE. And you get 10% off. It'll help you win your fantasy football leagues if you haven't done it already. I'm sure you might be in more drafts, like I've got a couple of more to enter. So go over to rotoexperts.com/discount, promo code RAGE. Let's bring in Dalton Deldon right now and find out if Dalton is once again a competitor of ours in the Westgate Super Contest. How you doing, Dalton?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on. It's been far too long.
Yeah, it has been. It's always a pleasure, my man. I saw pictures of you and your boys at a casino. It appeared to be at a casino. I saw you sitting at a table, and it looked like you guys were pretty drunk because your buddies were giving people a finger. And, like, I was like, all right, it looks like Dalton's in Vegas entering the Super Contest. But turns out you weren't in Vegas entering the Super Contest. But let me ask you, have you entered the Super Contest again this year?
Okay, so I was in New York. We did a national draft day for Yahoo. Guys like Dan Marino, D'Angelo Russell, turned out to be really nice people. But yes, I'm absolutely entering that, of course. What do you think? I'm a degenerate.
Yeah, obviously. Once you're in, and it's sort of like, I don't know, it's like going to a bar that you always bitch about. You enter the contest, and if you do well, it's cool. If you don't, it's like, man, I would have rather like had this in my bankroll. This contest sucks. There's too many people. But every year, you get right back into it. Once you're in, it's like the mob. You're in for life, Dalton, isn't it?
It's so fun. Of course. Exactly. I mean, there's no way that, you couldn't. You could have raised the price twice the amount, and I would have said
that. No, don't tell Cornegay. If he might be watching this, right? He follows me on Twitter. Don't tell Cornegay that. They actually have the Super Contest Gold. This year, $5,000.
I heard this. Yes, I heard about this.
Little out of my price range, Dalton.
It's quite, yeah.
I'll admit it. I can't afford that one. Yeah. So anyways, you live in the Bay Area, so let me ask you, I'll sort of correlate the San Francisco 49ers into some fantasy talk here. I like the makeup of it, and I know it sounds sort of cliche that, John Lynch is going to bring a toughness to the table. And, and in a different culture, so to speak, but he really freaking has. In a sense that you look at the defense and just the attacking nature that they have, the aggressive nature that they have, I like what I've seen from this football team in the preseason. I'm not saying they're making the playoffs this year, but I think they're going to be a pain in the ass to play against every Sunday, actually. What's your take on the Niners from what you've seen?
Well, it's still a tough division, obviously. I'm a big Kyle Shanahan fan. They're going in the right direction. There's no question about that. But I would probably still honestly take their under of 4.5. I think they're going to go 4-12.
I know.
But they're going in the right direction.
Me too. I think they're 4-12. You think Kirk Cousins will be their quarterback next year?
I do. I hope so, by the way, too. His YPA is really, really good. And that seems to be the plan.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. And I threw something out there because it almost seems, all right, that's what's going to happen. But let's just say, for argument's sake, if Ben Roethlisberger gets hurt again, he goes, all right, guys, I'm not getting operated again for the 38th time in my life. I'm done. I'm out. And Kirk Cousins is out there. I can see Kirk Cousins is a good fit with Pittsburgh, too. It'd be interesting to see if there's actually a bidding war for Kirk.
Well, yeah, no question about that. I mean, there should be a bidding war for him. He's really good, actually. I mean, what are your thoughts on him? I think he's good.
I like him, and I've defended him over the past couple of years, and I had him on a team last year, and people were laughing at me, or 2 years ago. I was like, yeah, who's laughing now? I was like the Cousins. You like that? What I don't like in the real world, not in the fantasy world, is he hasn't played well in big games a couple of times, and more than once, Dalton, and it kind of pisses me off.
In big games, what do you mean by that?
The game against the Packers in the playoffs, when they made the playoffs, he was okay. The Monday nighter last year against the Carolina Panthers. They're playing a Panthers team that was terrible. They wasn't playing for anything. And all Washington had to do was win a damn game. They couldn't do it. And it was him. Like, it wasn't like it was everyone else. Guys were open. I mean, there were times, and I'm with you, Dalton. I like Kirk, but at times, he gets so bad. You know, like he's sort of all over the place.
Well, I have him as a top six fantasy quarterback this season.
Are you scared at all about the preseason, the way it's looked with him?
No, not at all. Who cares about the preseason? No, he's going to be fine. Again, the YPA has just been, that's the thing that is the most important, absolutely the most important stat when it comes to quarterbacks.
I took Jameson Crowder last night, actually. I think he could be a sneaky play here. I don't trust Doxson. The kid's always hurt. So you got Pryor and you got Crowder, and hell, Reed gets hurt a lot. I think Crowder could be worth a late gamble.
Before late, I love Crowder. I agree with you. And obviously the main thing is if Jordan Reed can stay healthy, I get that. But they have some other options there. And Crowder, I'm with you. And I personally think that, like I said, Cousins is going to be a top six option.
All right. So, you know, we bounced all over the place. We talked about Cousins going to San Francisco potentially. So I want to ask you, from a fantasy perspective, last night, it's funny. I remember, I don't know if it was Greg Rosenthal. I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but, oh, it's imminent that Carlos Hyde's going to get cut. You know, if I had a dollar for every time I read an article in the offseason about how Hyde doesn't fit in Shanahan's system and how he's going to get let go, I'd have enough to enter the contest with. That'd pay for my entry, Dalton, right? The 1,500 bucks, 1,500 columns. And I didn't really understand that. It's like, yeah, Hyde doesn't fit the system. Well, I don't know. You know, Devontae Freeman did, Tevin Coleman did. Why wouldn't Carlos Hyde fit this system as well? As long as Carlos Hyde can stay healthy, he can be productive. I am a Carlos Hyde fan, actually, and I took him last night, 40th overall.
Well, you're really talking to the wrong person here because I'm a Niners guy, obviously, and I'm kind of against Carlos Hyde. He just can't stay healthy. And he's always ran out of the shotgun system. Joe Williams's numbers aren't that great as far as if you look at the scouting, but I've just been fading Carlos Hyde personally. And Hyde is very, very good. I just am worried about his health.
I know. I can't argue that. But he puts numbers up. It's amazing, man. You know, so many people, fantasy guys like yourself, you know, and big-time guys are like, I just don't trust Hyde. So let me ask you. Time flies, Don. It sucks. I wish we had more time. So there's two sleepers here, and I've took Jonathan Williams. And a great article you wrote. Check out Dalton's piece over at Yahoo Sports Fantasy about sleeper on each team. Jonathan Williams, Buffalo Bills. LeSean McCoy goes down. He's the running back. Boom. All right? That's a nice gamble there. But Joe Williams, you see a similar situation here? Is he going to be the guy, like, per se, if Hyde gets hurt?
Well, Shanahan reportedly pounded the table, is what they said, and told Lynch to call and make his make good with him, and that's what happened. So yes, I mean Shanahan was all about drafting Joe Williams.
All right, so yeah, worth the gamble, guys. Sometimes you got to take a chance, and running backs do get hurt, and if you got that backup, man, you're in a nice spot. A.K.A. guys that already
took Kareem. Speaking of Jonathan Williams real quick, are the Bills trying to win games?
No, you know what? I'm a Bills fan. Coming into the
I know you're close to the area too, right?
Yeah, no, it looks like they're tanking. They're doing what the Browns did last year. They're stockpiling draft picks. It's sad. I can't even bet the over 6.5 anymore, Dalton. They'll still beat the Jets in week one. Sneaky survivor pick because no one will have the balls to take
it. That was my pick?
See, we make the same.
We gotta I don't know anymore, though.
I got to get out of here. Thanks, Dalton.
All right, thank you.
Plays of the day next.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
All right, we've got got to be quick with our plays of the day. We're just going to go light, guys, because we got football tomorrow, in which we'll pound it. We'll pound it tomorrow and then all freaking season long. Give me the Orioles early game. Give me the Red Sox. Why are the Red Sox underdogs against the Blue Jays? Kansas City Royals are streaky and they're winning right now. They're going to win again. The Dodgers minus 110. How do we pass? May the winners be yours.